Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is The Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Does your quarterback look like someone to you who can't get it down the field vertically, Cameron Jordan?
Absolutely not.
Keep yapping, man.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Stanford head coach David Shaw, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up, seven-time MLB All-Star David Wright, plus comedian Nate Bargatze. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're awaiting a phone call from David Wright, the longtime New York Met third baseman. He's got a new book, and we're keeping an eye on the baseball playoffs that began yesterday, eight games today. I told you, Chris, I don't think this is just for this year. I think they're going to do a little trial run here, and the ratings are going to be solid to great. And
well, I don't know about that.
No, I just think the level of interest is going to be fun. And imagine, like, right now, if there was all these towel waving fans in Atlanta. And
yeah, but it's like the NBA, where you can't have more than 50% of the league make the playoffs each year. What's the point of the playoffs then?
I mean, the NBA seems to be doing just fine with 16 teams in.
Why not? It also takes 3 months to conclude their playoff season.
These are just, I guess these are 3 out of 5, and, you know, let's just put
like
it this
three
way.
Out of five.
I would have I'd have an issue if I won.
These are
100.
Best of three.
That's what I'm saying. Like that. That's that. I would be.
Yeah, I'm in.
That I would be very troubled by. I think they should. If they do this, they got to make it 3 out of 5.
No,
But hold on. Then you're playing. You're playing till Thanksgiving.
Or you cut the number of regular season games, and you get it started. Because if you go, look, I don't mind the 2 out of 3 when my team throws Garrett Cole out there and he puts out a performance that we haven't seen since Tom Seaver.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is just take one out of the next two. And the next guy that the Yankees are throwing is a guy with a career ERA less than 2 in the playoffs in Tanaka.
But if the Dodgers lose tonight, suddenly the sky is falling.
I know that. It's 2 out of 3 is a little bit tough. But I think you should get used to this.
I'm not a fan.
The comedian Nate Bargatze is going to be joining us. We've already had some interesting football chats with Jason Lockenfour of CBS, David Shaw, the head coach of Stanford football, and Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. And we say good afternoon if he is calling in from the East Coast, or good morning if he's calling in from the West Coast. The author of The Captain, which is available wherever you get your books right now, the memoir from the last Mets captain and a beloved figure in New York City, David Wright, here on the show. How are you, David?
Hi, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You bet. What do you think of the expanded playoffs that we're seeing right now? What do you
think? I respectfully, obviously, disagree maybe with you. I think that during my career, you know, it was so hard to make the playoffs in baseball. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong, but I treasured the few playoff appearances I got, and I couldn't imagine being a 500 or a sub 500 team, you know, and making the playoffs. So I think that it's a little more special than, you know, being a 500 team and making the playoffs. But, you know, what do I know?
So, no, but I mean, you, I don't know. I mean, you, we saw, I guess, although, you know, it was a full season, but we've heard of teams like the Nationals or the St. Louis Cardinals, for instance, in recent days, go from a 500 team middle of the season, then all of a sudden they go on a tear and a run. Maybe. That could happen. I mean, we have seen 6 seeds in the NFL win it all, and I don't think anybody sees it tarnished. I kind of don't mind it. But then again, I wasn't a professional baseball player. You know,
I'm with you there because in 06, we went to the playoffs, and I believe we had the best record in the National League, and we lost to the Cardinals in Game 7 of the NLCS, who everybody was saying backed their way into the playoffs to get there. And then all of a sudden, they get hot and in October, and they win the World Series. So I'm with you there.
Okay. So when did you first hear, I mean, where were you when you first heard the Mets took you and that you were going to be a New York Met, David? When did that happen?
You know, it's funny. It was I was in my senior year of high school in Hickory High in Chesapeake, Virginia, and I had an anatomy and physiology exam. We were still in school on the draft, and I had to take my exam, my final exam. So I'm rushing home. I had my dad and some family members and some close friends over the house. And at the time, it was the AOL dial-up, you know, and that's the only way you could hear your name being called or drafted, you know, for the Major League Draft. So, you know, this thing is like making funny sounds and we can barely hear the audio. And, you know, I made it home after the first round, and I could kind of see that my name hadn't been called by the looks on my parents and my friends' faces. And then, you know, 38th overall, the Mets have the pick, and, you know, they announce my name, and it's just, you know, craziness in the house. Because our AAA affiliate, the Norfolk Tides, was 15 minutes from where I grew up. So we used to go to the AAA affiliate, the Norfolk Tides games, all the time. So I grew up a displaced Mets fan in Southeast Virginia. So it was a dream come true for me.
Now, look, I know you're not just a captain because of how you played the game, but because of your comportment, your heart, and your leadership skills. That said, the minute you heard you were drafted, you said, screw that test, right? You didn't take that test, right?
No, I finished the test. I did pretty well on it.
Come on.
But no, that my parents, my father was a police officer. My mother worked in the school system. So it was like, okay, you know, forget about the draft. You got to do good on this test.
Oh, come
baseball's
on.
Never
come
gonna,
on.
Baseball's never going to work out. You know, baseball's never going to work out. You got to have a plan B. You can't put all your eggs in that basket. So you better be a good student. So, you know, school was always first in my household.
No, I know. And it isn't first in mine, too. But, I mean, you know, senioritis certainly sets in when the New York Mets draft you, right? I mean, that's got to set in. Certainly when the Mets coming off of a World Series appearance against the Yankees. I mean, that's it right
now,
there.
It was pretty cool going to school the next day after your first-round draft pick of the New York Mets.
Yes.
That was cool going to school the next day, for sure.
All right. David, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Toughest pitcher you ever had to face was who?
That's a great – it probably depends on kind of which time of my career. When I first got called up, John Smoltz owned me. Could never see a slider. Then the Phillies traded for Roy Halladay, and that was – I might as well not even bring a bat up there. And he knew it, too. Jose Fernandez was impossible for me. Craig Kimbrell, the closer for the Braves. Those are guys that just absolutely own me.
Who did you own? Let's be honest. Who did you like? I got this guy. Who's that?
I'd like to think if you were a lefty, you didn't have much of a shot because I, for some reason, I saw lefties pretty good. One of the interesting ones was Brad Penny. For whatever reason, I saw him well, too, and had great numbers against Brad Penny.
David, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, did you ever meet Seaver? Did you ever meet Tom? I know that the Mets and Tom didn't have that great of a relationship sometimes, but did you ever meet the late, great Tom Seaver, David?
So the franchise was around a lot when I was a younger player.
I love it.
And I developed a nice rap and a friendship with Mr. Seaver. For whatever reason, he kind of he saw something in me and wanted to mentor me. And I'd get a call, you know, once a month, once every 6 weeks from Mr. Seaver, and we'd talk about everything except baseball. He wanted to know what I was doing away from the field, what I was doing to occupy my time, what I was doing to take my mind away from the failures of baseball. And that helped me out tremendously. And one of my biggest regrets was he ran a vineyard up in Northern California, up in Napa.
Yep.
And he invited me up there numerous times. And he said, if you come, I'm going to put you to work. I got a pair of boots for you. And I never took them off on it, and I certainly wish I had.
I bet. But how cool is that, though, that you're a young kid trying to make your bones in New York City. Obviously, you know, the Yankees, when you were coming up, with a former Met and Met manager and Joe Torre winning all these World Series, you're trying to make your bones. And Tom Seaver says takes a liking to you. That is amazing. That is so cool. You gotta love that.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's as good as you – just said it, times it, you know, by 100. It was so cool having, you know, the one of the best players to ever put a uniform on to kind of take you under his wing and want to teach you about not just baseball but life.
So what's your favorite moment as a Met, David? Give it to me. What was it?
2015 World Series. You know, I mentioned earlier I grew up in Southeast Virginia and you know, out in the backyard with my dad and my grandfather, and you know, they had this big old wooden bat that they taught me how to, you know, play baseball with a wiffle ball. And you know, being Mets fans, my dad read about Greg Jeffries taking swings underwater with a wooden bat. So he throws me in my grandfather's pool, and I'm taking swings underwater with the – and, you know, we're in the backyard, and it's, you know, World Series, here comes the pitch, whack, home run, and you know, fast forward to 2015. I got that opportunity to live out the dream and win a pennant, a National League pennant for the New York Mets, you know, go to the World Series, and ultimately we lost it. But, you know, to hit a home run in the World Series and to, you know, wear that World Series patch on your shoulder and your hat, for me, was a dream come true.
Now, I'm biased. I'm from Staten Island. I am a Yankee fan, full disclosure.
Nobody's perfect.
Well, David, we know deep down in your memoir was excised from the book as you wish you were a Yankee. That's true, right? That chapter got edited out. That
not quite.
Okay, not quite. No, but I am biased. There's nothing like the cheer of a New York crowd. There's nothing like it. There's a certain roar. There's a certain, I don't know what it is, a timbre to it. There's nothing like it for me. Nothing for me growing up.
Question. And you know, I don't tend to give Yankees or Yankee fans credit, but the roll call is pretty special. And, you know, some of my favorite games, regular season games, were, you know, as much as we try to play it down,
yes,
you know, the Subway Series means nothing. You know, it's just another game.
Oh, that's not,
you know,
true.
It was always really cool to go into the old Yankee Stadium or the new Yankee Stadium, you know, hopefully win, but to be, you know, there for the roll call and, you know, some of the cool antics that they got out there in the bleachers.
Well, I wasn't just referring to Yankee fans. I'm referring to Met fans, too. We were recounted the other day. It was the 19-year anniversary of Piazza hitting the home run in the first game, mm-hmm, back in New York City. I imagine that was just freshly after you were drafted by the Mets.
Yep.
Just that moment, just hearing the fans and the crowd, and what it meant to the city, it just brought me to tears just thinking about it, David. Just, I mean, and I know you weren't there yet, but you just knew what the Mets could do for the city right then and there, and then you showed up pretty much not too far behind.
Right. Speaking as a Mets fan,
yes,
that was my favorite Met moment, no question, was the Piazza home run after 9/11.
It meant so damn much. So what should people know about your memoir, The Captain, a Memoir, David? What do you want,
you know,
people to know about that?
It was fun because, you know, I never in my wildest dreams would I think that I would write a book or there'd be a book written about me. You know, but when I was approached to do this project, as an athlete, I don't think you get the opportunity to kind of live in the moment and kind of enjoy what you're doing while you're doing it. You're always looking forward to that next challenge, or you're worried about John Smoltz or Roy Halladay pitching the next night. You're trying to prepare for that. So getting a chance to kind of relive some of these great lifelong memories that I'm going to have on a baseball field and, you know, watch the video and replays and, you know, talk about, you know, different perspectives and what you were thinking at the time, was really cool for me to be able to kind of go back and cherish those moments. And, you know, a quick funny story is I got a chance to pick out like 30 personal pictures for the middle of the book. And, you know, my parents are on the East Coast. We live out on the West Coast now. And I asked my dad, can you send me some childhood pictures? I want to go through them and pick some. So I get like 4 huge FedEx boxes on my doorstep. And going through those pictures of, you know, me as a baby or me holding a bat for the first time and, you know, me with family and amateur baseball and minor leagues. And even when I was in the big leagues, you know, my mom coming down to the on deck circle and taking a picture with her camera, you know, like, hey, David, it's your mother. Say cheese. You know, it was, some of that stuff really brought a big smile to my face and really enjoyed kind of reminiscing and going through everything, you know, good and bad of my career.
Well, David, I've got a diehard Met fan wearing a Met hat. Your jersey is to his left. He's in charge of our social media. He's TJ Jefferson. The name of the show is The Rich Eisen Show. There is an I in Rich and Eisen, but I'm a team player. TJ, do you want to ask David a question?
I
what are your
like
favorite
to,
Mets of all time? The floor is yours, TJ.
What's up, Cap?
I appreciate that. Hey, TJ.
So, new ownership. Steve Cohen just bought the team. I think we're all pretty much excited about that. My question to you is, can you see yourself making a return front office to the field as a manager, coach? I mean, you know, what's the future looking like for you? Can we entice you to come back home?
Kind of put me on the spot here. I'll say this, that I don't foresee myself coaching or managing. You know, I tried to coach my daughter's co-ed 3- and 4-year-old t-ball team this year, and it didn't go well. Let's put it that way. Moving forward, I love that organization. I want to be a part of it. You know, if there's some sort of part-time role where I got the opportunity the last couple of years to go to spring training and work with some of the younger infielders.
Right.
I really enjoyed that. I've done a little bit of front office stuff. I've enjoyed dabbling in that. So I think I like doing a little bit of everything, not necessarily focusing on one thing. But, yes, I would love to continue to be a part of the organization.
Well, I mean, one of the first moves was to bring Sandy Alderson back in, and you must have a nice relationship with him, David.
I do. One of the most respected men in baseball, in my opinion. I mean, not just because of his background, but, you know, what he's done in baseball and the respect that he demands, I think Sandy's going to flourish.
So I am mandated to ask you in the couple minutes I have left is, why didn't it go well with the T-ball? What happened? What happened?
I think I maybe tried to too disciplined. I think I was more of a Tom Coughlin, and I think I had to be more of a player's coach.
Okay.
You know, I demanded excellency from the 3- and 4-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I think I showed them up on the field a little too much. You know, when they run the wrong way on the base pass, I had bad body language. And I don't think the parents appreciated that very much. So I think I need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and maybe become an assistant coach next year.
Okay. Did you get run, David? Did you get run? Is that what happened? Did you get
well,
the gate?
We're kind of our own umpires, sort of.
Okay.
So, you know, I tried to talk a little trash to the opposing coaches, and I don't think they like that either. So, you know, I'm trying to find my balance between, you know, they're 3 and 4 and trying to tame the competitiveness. But, you know, it was a lot of fun and rewarding. And, you know, hopefully they'll have me back next year.
Well, we all know, again, you got the gate because even with a ball on a tee, Joe West blew it. So we know that, David. We know that.
You said it, Rich. You said it.
All right. Before I do let you go, who do you think wins the World Series this year?
What? It's such an easy pick. You know, not easy, but like it's kind of a cowardly pick. But you know, the Dodgers. How do you not pick the Dodgers? I don't know. That's a good one. The Yankees look good. Last night, but I'm going to stick with the Dodgers. They've been so close for so long, and I really admire that organization from a developmental aspect and, you know, what they've done at the big league level. I'll take the Dodgers.
David, thanks for the time. Congrats on the book. I love this chat. Again, what you did on the New York stage is nothing short of remarkable, and you have a place in the heart of New York sports fans forever. And congratulations on having that moving forward in your life. Call back, please.
I appreciate the kind words. It even means more coming from a Yankee fan. So
you know what?
That.
It is heartfelt, but it's also buoyed by the fact that the Yankees got a ton of rings, and it makes me feel happy.
Touche. You get the final word.
You take care, David. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. The Captain, available wherever books are acquired. The great David Wright. You might have made some news there, TJ.
That was awesome.
You didn't just say, hey, wasn't that great that one time and whatever?
I'm a journalist, Rich.
Don Bowie, I'm sorry I didn't get it in here. He sent me this stat. One guy, you know how books have blurbs? People say, you should love this book.
Yeah,
you should get this book. One guy who David Wright did not ask for a blurb, Ricky Nolasco. He lit him up. In 66 career at-bats, he went 27 for 66 with six home runs, 17 runs batted in. And an OPS of 1.1591.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even know an OPS went that high. So there is no blurb from Ricky Nolasco. The forward of The Captain is not written by Ricky Nolasco.
Ricky
Nolasco.
Nolasco.
All right. If you're on hold, stay on hold. Our next phone call with some more. That was great. Nate Bergazzi will be joining us, the comedian and host of the Nate Land podcast. It's Nate Land, right?
Nate Land podcast.
Okay, very good. That's next. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
NBCSN going to join us in just a matter of moments. Let's check on our poll question as it currently stands in our pop culture world, certainly here on Peacock, where you can get every episode of Cheers, which is awesome.
No.
One of the best shows.
I know. What do you got over there?
Well, which show thrived the most after replacing a main character? Cheers has taken this one, guys. 45%. MASH, 32%. 11% for 2.5 minutes. NYPD Blue.
What is NYPD Blue? Nothing?
11%, 2.5 men, 12%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Caruso, man. One
Caruso
and done.
Caruso did one. Well, right,
one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Stephen Bochco's memoir, because he created NYPD along with Milch, David Milch. He has a whole story on that one. That was just not working out from the beginning.
He wanted to be a movie star, right?
Yeah.
But he, what was the movie he left to make?
He left.
Oh, I forget what it was.
Tanked, right?
I forget what it was.
Yeah, he left for.
It had to do with like some sort of kidnapping or something like that. I forgot what it was. Whatever it was doesn't matter because CSI Miami took care of all of that.
Residuals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Again, if I'm getting 13
kiss
cents.
Kiss of death.
Kiss of death. Kiss of death. Yeah.
All right. Back here in a second. All right, welcome back here to the Rich Eisen Show. Our poll question is, which show has thrived most after replacing a main character? This is the annual, what is this, how many years for Cheers right now?
Let's see, 1982, so 18? 38 for Cheers.
You know, and this just reminds me, one of the guys I play poker with was involved in the production of Cheers from the very beginning.
Really?
So it's just like, you know, yeah, and he did a lot of those shows.
James Burrows?
No, he's hired him over and over again, and it's just like, so I'm in this hand he has no business being in, and I lose, he sucks out on the river, and it's just like, okay, what does he matter? He's just taking the check from the Tortellis and throwing it in there. Like, I have no business being in a poker hand with this man.
What does he care
that he's on a draw when he's got, you know, like a check from Veronica's closet just like sitting there?
Veronica's closet. One sitcom. Give me one sitcom, Rich.
That's nice. Good pull on that.
No, and plus he's also involved with Chuck Lorre.
Oh.
I got no shot. What am I doing in this poker game?
You know, fun stories time, I think.
And Brogan wants to come and play.
I'm dying to play.
You I'll front him.
Those pockets seem deep.
Let's go back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to who's been hanging? Rich in Biloxi, Mississippi's been hanging on for a while. What's up, sir?
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
You know, earlier in the show, you were talking about COVID and the protocols with the NFL and such. And I just want your opinion. The Super Bowl is by far the largest sporting event in the world. What happens if COVID prevents fans from coming to the Super Bowl?
Then they'll play the Super Bowl without fans. It'll be that simple. I mean, I don't know. It makes sense that, you know, that even... look, but it is also the state of Florida where, you know, the governor's already opened everything back up and is trying even to make sure that kids on campuses want to party without, you know, any repercussions. So I don't know, but it's still an NFL event. And so maybe they're, you know, 25% fans. I don't know. And I don't know who gets to go. That's so far down the road, man. I just want to get through the Titans Steelers game first. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know. Then, bottom line, there'll be no fans. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Appreciate it for hanging on as long as you did. That'll be that. I certainly won't be a Gasparilla before.
I mean,
certainly won't be.
I hope that we're able to attend this year and try to hit both.
So Blake Snell did what he had to do yesterday, right? The Astros got – so the man, the Rays are a tough team. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they win the American League. I don't want a piece of them. I don't want a piece of them.
I'm scared.
I don't want the Yankees. I don't want to see them. I don't want to know them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Because those Rays are – they are deep in accounts.
Yep.
Oof.
They pitch – everybody out of the bullpen has a rocket arm that throws 150 miles an hour. I don't want any part of them.
How's the bracket lineup? Who would you play next?
Next would be the Yankees would play the Rays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. You guys are on the same side. Got it.
Yep. Oof, yep. That. Absolutely.
Do not want that.
So, and then the Astros got three in the ninth on the Twins. Sergio Romo, I think, walked in a batter.
He was not happy.
A run for the first time ever.
Yeah, he was not happy.
So the Astros are a game away from
advancing. They're up 1-0 right now. Houston is.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, and again, that would be the end of the Twins season.
That could be over, yeah.
And Lucas Giolito had a no-hitter working for a while.
He had a perfect game into the to start the seventh. He was 18 for 18.
The Sox, bro. That's my analysis of that game.
The Sox, bro.
How about that? How about that?
Sox, bro.
The Sox, bro.
Sox, bro.
Was that high? The content that you get Peacock for?
Yes, absolutely.
What does Rich think about 1,000%. Those Chicago White Sox chances? Well, you know what? I heard him say, the Sox, bro. That's it.
You know,
that's all I got.
You guys brought up Lucas Giolito.
Yes, sir.
Do you know who his grandfather was?
You have the floor.
His grandfather was an actor named Warren Frost.
Okay.
Who died not too long ago.
Okay.
His grandfather was Susan, who was George's fiance's father on Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. So there's a chocolate babka, I guess, sort of crossing the streams here.
Marble Rye.
Oh, it's a marble Rye. Okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, TJ. This is the best content ever.
Okay, Joe Montana has weighed in on the poll question.
Has he really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He actually just responded, Criminal Minds, just saying.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I love it. Fantastic.
That right there is fantastic.
So,
Joey Zaza.
Look.
He personally approves that message.
Yes.
It's got a point.
That's great. Okay. Welcoming to the Rich Eisen Show, the man who brings you the Nateland podcast, or is it Nate Land?
I think it's Nate Land
podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts with video and Nate's YouTube channel, the comedian Nate Bergazzi. How are you, Nate?
I'm good, man. How are you guys? That was pretty fun to hear about the Seinfeld. I'm a big Seinfeld fan, so it's pretty crazy.
What's your favorite Seinfeld episode, Nate?
I'm a big Andrea Doria. I think it's the one where the guy he's trying to get the apartment from George.
Yep.
And he's you know, and then George sends and says, I mean, how many people die on a regular cruise? 30, 40? I mean,
the episode where George is trying to get an apartment, speaking to the co-op board, and yes. He goes story for story with the other guy who's competing for it, an older gentleman. To try and come up with the worst possible story to win over the board. And this gentleman said Andrea Doria. And then he goes on this long jag of talking about everything from his fiance dying by licking envelopes. And it was truly fantastic. That was
fantastic.
Brilliant. That is a brilliant, brilliant episode.
Yeah, when he walks up to that old man and he goes, ahoy, matey.
Yeah, I guess if I had to choose my favorite George moment, it was him going back to the state of Ohio to tell a joke because he forgot to tell the best possible joke. Like, we all have those moments. Like, we wished we could go back and top our moment that we
jerk store called.
I would totally love that, Nate. You ever have a moment like that in your life, your career?
I mean, every show I get done with it. I wish I could go right back up there and do it again.
So you're from Old Hickory, Tennessee. Is that your hometown, Nate?
That is my hometown. We moved back. We're in Nashville, another part of Brentwood. My family's all still in Old Hickory. It's a suburb of Nashville.
Okay.
So it's not as... we're not in the middle of, you know, just one street light or something.
Where, Chris, what's the name of the place we did karaoke?
Santa's Pub.
Yeah, where's Santa's Pub in relation to that, Nate?
Yes, maybe 15 miles kind of northeast.
Okay.
That's where Santa Pub it was.
That's,
yeah,
that's we lit that up for the draft.
We did.
2 years ago, Nate. I don't know if that's, they're still talking about it there.
Well, we were. They do talk about that. The draft was. We were super excited about. I mean, that was. We're very. I'm very proud of Nashville. The fact that how good they've done.
It was. It was amazing, Nate. I would go back there in a heartbeat. If I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I don't just say it to people from Nashville. It was so amazing that if they have a rotation for the draft, similar to the Super Bowl, they should put Nashville in it and keep going back there. No doubt.
Yeah, I agree. I would love it. It was fun. We went. I got to go down. I didn't get to go. I love the draft. I think I've told you before, like, I love your logo. It's my favorite logo in all of sports, and you running.
Thank you.
But the draft is my, it's my absolutely favorite thing. Just pure chaos happens. And there's just, you never know what's going to happen, and it's just usually something pretty chaotic. And even you watch, it's insane. You watch these kids, some of them, the money goes down. You're watching them lose millions of dollars. Like, it's unreal, just the drama of it. Not that it's happy, but it's just the drama of it is insane.
Well, so are you a Tennessee Titans fan? Does that make you a Titans fan?
Big Titans fan.
All right, so we're knocking on wood that everybody's happy and healthy and that they can continue on. The 3-0 start has been something amazing, Nate.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, the Titans, I'm a big Vanderbilt fan too, so I'm a Vandy and a Titans fan.
Okay.
And so they were both going through some pretty, well, Vandy actually had a really good game this week against Texas A&M. We did not win, mm-hmm. but was very excited about our quarterback, and defense looked great, and that was kind of on the upswing, but they're in the SEC. It's kind of an uphill battle, and the Titans were on a long kind of nothing, and then last year was amazing, and so this year they seem, like they've just picked up right where they left off.
So does that make you a Jay Cutler guy, Nate? Are you a Cutler guy?
Jay? I am. I'll defend Cutler just out of, he could break into my car, and I would tell you why that's okay. he's a Vandy guy. I don't think he did anything wrong. I'll argue that Denver did him wrong.
Okay.
For making him leave.
Okay.
So he had a Pro Bowl that year, and then what's his face came in from the Patriots, McDaniels, and was floating the idea that Cutler was no good. Well, that's all it takes, he just did the Pro Bowl. So why are you trashing him? And then he left. And in Chicago, I just don't think it didn't really work out there. But he did nothing wrong at Denver.
You know, are you following his Instagram account, Nate? Have you been checking out Jay Cutler's Instagram account?
I've seen some of it. I saw, like, the chicken thing. He's trying to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, he's got chickens. He's got mini cows, right? He's got these little mini cows that I didn't even know existed. That's what Jay – goats? He just got goats last week. Yeah. That's the latest.
He's on a road trip right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because that's what we – every Friday we have – we catch up with Jay Cutler's Instagram on the Rich Eisen Show.
And I just love that y'all are like, y'all know where he's at right now like that.
Yeah, no, he's goat.
He had barbecue last night.
Oh, is that right? That's what Jay's up to.
I don't. No one knew what he's up to. Like, this is the most anybody's ever seen him.
That is true.
Instagram. So, like, that's why I feel like he's so fascinating, because he, and I mean, he's more likable than he ever was in the NFL.
But so you were just spent all this time defending him, but you deep down realize that he's a thoroughly unlikable figure as an NFL player.
Oh,
is that what you're saying, Nate
Ferguson? I get the idea, and then I get what I'm having to do. It's an uphill battle, man. I'm a Vandy fan. What we do is defend stuff that doesn't always work out for us, but we're there. We're always going to show up,
okay,
and we're always there.
All right, so the SEC team you hate the most would be which, Nate Bergazzi?
Tennessee and Kentucky. Pretty good tie. Tennessee obviously is our rival with Kentucky either. But, I mean, after any game, I mean, if we lose and I see two fans cheer for the other team, I'm like, this team is the worst, and I can lose my mind.
Right.
But Tennessee and Kentucky are they're the two. I would like to lump them together.
All right. So tell me about your pod, man. Congrats on it. It was launched in July. Your guests, who would you want as a guest if you could wave a wand and say, this is my guest on the Nate Bergazzi, Nate Lynn podcast?
You know, I don't know. Maybe you, Rich, would come in. We talk about nothing. Like we're big Seinfeld fans. We actually have a lot of Seinfeld references.
Okay.
We talk about we broke down grocery stores, just like the future, present, past of grocery stores.
Okay.
And just like it's kind of like trying to find something that's not topical, political. Like it's just nothing. You're not coming there to get smarter.
Okay.
That's not even right how you say that.
Okay. So
you're getting dumber. Is our goal.
So rank the aisles in the grocery store, Nate. What do you got for me?
You know, you're supposed to not go to the inside, the middle. You ever heard that? Just don't go to the middle, and it's healthy. And I mean, I only go to the middle. That's the only thing. I mean, I like to find the milk.
Okay.
I like to see where a grocery store puts the milk.
Okay.
That's a little, you know, it's like you get a little personality at the grocery store. And I go to the ice cream.
So the middle is like a frozen food situation. That is true. Like they usually
cereals are in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but
crackers.
What does it say about a supermarket where it places the milk? What does the geography of the milk actually say about the grocery store? I don't understand that.
I don't know. It's just always in the back. They never make it easy because that's the one thing that I think people have to always get the most.
Right.
It's always like go run and get it. So they make you go through everything.
Yeah,
to go get it.
That's right. So you buy more. You buy. You know, I mean, you've done the shopping cart dance before, Nate. I'm sure it's you take something and you place it in your cart and you keep boogieing down with your cart. So that's what they try to make you do if they place.
I try to always carry a basket and always get way more than that basket can. I mean, it becomes a night. You're carrying like 70 pounds in this basket.
Oh yeah, that's tough
it's
on
like,
the
just get the cart, dude.
Nate, it's tough on the forearm.
Yeah,
that's a tough on the forearm. You got all sorts of problems working there. All right, so I think I just proved my bona fides for the appearing on your podcast that I'm able to talk about nothing. If you just throw me the topic, I'll just talk about it.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's I do it through other comics, and we put one out today about animals. Just like I don't know, just facts about animals. We did a Seinfeld reference with the marine biologist when George says, you know, the blue whale is the biggest animal in the sea, but they don't have to be.
Okay, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I'm more than happy to do it. In the meantime, we'll check it out on your YouTube channel. We're all podcasters, so the one-night-only drive-in tour. You've got tour dates coming up in Columbus, Ohio, Illinois, and also in North Carolina. For more dates, go to NateBergazzi.com. I appreciate the time. Nate, you take care of yourself.
Hey, absolutely. Always a pleasure, dude. Thanks for having me.
Right back at you. Twitter and Instagram at Nate Bergazzi. You're in the Rich Eisen Show. I never thought about that the milk is in a spot that they want you to go through the entire operation to get there.
Right. And that makes sense when you think about the middle aisles are the worst foods for you.
Yes.
Because you got chips and soda, cereal, ice cream, all that's in the middle.
Frozen. We that's must right. have listeners and viewers who work in a supermarket who have gone through this with management before about placing things in a specific spot purposefully to make sure that everybody's got to walk through it.
I would believe
like there
that,
has 100%. To be a method to the madness, and I never thought about it. You know why? Because I just go shopping.
Yeah,
and then
when
top
I'm hungry,
of it,
I grab stuff I want.
My biggest problem shopping.
Is
twofold. One, I know I'm going to screw it up.
Yep.
Okay.
I actually did some shopping yesterday, and I apologized when I got home
that
it took so long because I don't know where things are.
Now that you've got a kid,
ugh.
And Sarah will say, "Did you get?" And then you come and say, "No, no bueno."
Here's what
and
I started
you,
doing.
You, as the father, are supposed to know. What the kids like. I mean, aren't you around? Aren't you present? Don't you know? Like, honestly,
right.
This is a me problem. It's not a Susie problem. It's a me problem. It's my way of, I freeze when I go shopping. And Susie knows it. So she'll go like, I'll just do it. And I'm like, no, I'll go. Like, I need to be
able
to. Because
she doesn't want to do it. She's giving you a task, a responsibility,
yeah.
and you don't want to let them down.
And the number of times I'm like, I'll be shopping, and then I'll be taking pictures and texting photographs.
Is this the
one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Because they don't have this one. This one is what they have. Are you fine with getting it? Like,
you don't want to bring the
wrong one. So I have a list, and I was tasked with getting some flaxseed. for some stuff, whatever.
Very important.
But they didn't have any flaxseed, but
so
they had a flaxseed chia mix. So I had to take a picture and ask, is this okay? Will this work
yes,
for you?
Right. And?
I got a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Very good.
You're approved.
But sometimes
it's out.
But also, sometimes the reception isn't good, and you're like watching the
right.
thing try to send,
like,
and you're
on,
like, come on.
Waiting for the delivered
exactly,
to pop up.
Exactly. Because I've got to go on to the next aisle where I'm going to screw this up, too.
Yes.
And it's just, it's a riptide, and it's very
yes.
difficult. And I understand it's a me problem. I got to work through it.
By the way, you guys, the only problem I have is not going into the store hungry. And I'm good.
Understood.
I don't have to worry about the rest of that.
Don't go to the store
hungry. By the way,
hungry.
great new fantasy team name, the Flaxseed Conundrum. Or is that another
wait,
Warren Beatty movie?
That's not exactly. Was that starring Warren Beatty?
That was a Willie Nelson.
Is that a husband's like worst nightmare, going to the grocery store and forgetting?
And screwing it up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
it's not a worst nightmare, but it's a me problem. That's
no,
number.
Then,
that's,
I don't think that's just you. Like I.
Maybe there's others who are listening to me saying I do the same thing. Then this is where we'll separate, because I said I've got two issues with shopping. Mm-hmm. That's one. The other one is not singing to the 70s
music
out loud. literally, I will be
my whole sit,
like, honestly, when the Carpenters come on and I'm like going down the aisle and I'm singing out loud the Carpenters.
My store is playing 80s right now. It's fantastic.
Killing it, huh?
I go in, it's like I'm on a DJ in the place.
Would you ever DJ a supermarket?
I totally would do that. It would be the best. Like, they literally play.
You want a DJ for a grocery
yeah.
store?
Who wants to DJ for a grocery store? What would it be? It would have you can't you can't party. You can't party.
No, I'm not drinking. I mean, I don't drink. It's like I would just sit and play 80s. I would love that.
But not the annoying 80s songs
that
get stuck in your head all day.
The other day Safety Dance was on. And,
wow,
I mean,
that's
one hit wonder.
And people were like bopping around, and I could hear them, like, and I'm like, this can you? Like,
so those
it.
Are two things I would want to ask someone who works at a supermarket. One is the actual spatial geography of the place, and
yep.
two, who chooses the music?
Oh, that's Muzak. That's like
it's a company?
It's a company. Oh, yeah. Because they're licensed.
So, like, say Whole Foods makes a deal with somebody,
yeah.
and every Whole Foods, when the manager takes over, they're like, here's the music. You got it.
Yeah, you have, like, a little receiver, and they hit that.
And
yeah.
so can they ever go off the reservation?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like, how many channels do they have? I want 70s.
And Nate, this is perfect. Now, I'm a perfect guest for Nate's show. Don's done. He's like, go to break. He's out. He's out. Don's like, let's go. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Now, more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. Because they know that where you shop matters, Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, official partner of the NFL. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com, GEICO.com. News on the MVP front in the NFL.
Ooh.
Huge news, huge MVP news in the NFL. We'll get to that in about a minute's time. And then your phone call is 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Tomlin has chimed in on the situation for his team and when they might play. So we've got a lot to get to if we only hadn't squandered it talking about supermarkets. But I kind of, you know.
Supermarkets are fun.
You know, I kind of got.
I love shopping,
but I'm glad I'm not the only one who panics.
When I was a kid, and my mother would send me. Yeah. Remember, we had no phones. You were solo.
Well,
you were find it.
Yeah, no, that was it.
You don't come home.
The old days, you know, when there is only gluten, nothing gluten free. back here on NBC Sports Net. You have no idea what we just talked about. Oh, man. Big, huge news in the NFL MVP in a second. I want to take a call, but I'm teasing huge news for the MVP race or just for the future of the MVP. Let's put it that way. So where am I going right here?
Go to line one.
Should I go to line one? Very good. John in Chicago. What's up, John?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
What's going on? What's on your mind?
So I got two things. One, I worked in a supermarket.
Okay.
For 5 years.
Right.
And two, I'm a Bears fan, so I got a quick question there.
Okay.
One, the reason all the junk food and stuff is in the middle is because it is being bought straight from a company, and it's the cheapest stuff, and it's the easiest stuff to get off the floor. So the reason the deli and the vegetables are on the outside is they're from farmers and private companies, and it's more expensive, so it's tougher to sell.
Huh.
Also, the displays being bought are also being applied from salesmen, where the grocery store actually has a margin of error where they can make more money off a certain bag of chips than others. Kind of like car sales.
Okay.
So the whole thing is kind of nuts.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they want to make money on chips, just give me all the baked Ruffles in the world. That's it.
Amen, sir.
Honestly, I will.
Also,
clear them out.
I'm a little frightened right now. I know it's kind of a false 3-0, but if Nick Foles stays healthy, what do you think, I guess, the limit is for us? Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
The Foles button usually needs to be pushed in December in recent days, right?
Yes, it's okay. A week 12 situation.
Well, let's see, man. So if Foles, let's just say this. If Foles has only, to use the phrase of the moment, a shelf life of 7 to 8 weeks, right?
Okay.
That means they're going to be dynamite all the way to week 12.
Yep.
Which is, by the way, a huge game for him. I mean, the NFC North could be on the line right there, week 12.
They beat the Colts. Are you going to pick them? Are you going to pick them this week?
I will pick them this week. Yeah.
You will?
I will.
Okay. So 4-0 going against Tom Brady, Thursday Night Football.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's what I'll do. You're taking the Colts against the Bears?
I think so, yeah.
The Colts are just phenomenal. I haven't seen enough.
Playing really well right now.
I haven't seen look, the same way we can't evaluate Sam Darnold last week, you can't evaluate Phillip Rivers. You can't evaluate anybody
because nobody's
right
watching
now.
Colts games?
No. No, you just can't evaluate anybody. The Jets are agnostic in terms of being able to evaluate anybody, themselves or their opponent. They're evaluation agnostic.
Some of the best tweets last night were, can't wait for Jets-Broncos tomorrow.
I mean, we'll have enough real estate to discuss that tomorrow. More phone calls in a second. The huge MVP news. The MVP in the NFL for the 2042 season was announced yesterday.
I know where you're going here.
Put the photograph up, Don. Put the photograph up. There's the MVP
of
the 2042 season. Congratulations to Brittany Matthews, the future Mrs. Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes just keeps pushing the ceiling for every other man on planet Earth that much higher. That much higher. This is what you do. Win the Super Bowl, right? Get the MVP of the Super Bowl and end the drought for the city that loves you after 50 years. Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Do
one,
that.
Check.
Then sign a contract worth $500 million with a B dollars.
Yep.
You know,
check.
if you're there for all 10 years, which you know you will be, mm-hmm. right? Then you propose to your high school sweetheart on the day you get your Super Bowl ring.
Check and check.
Okay, right? Then you start a family.
Yeah. Check. It's five. We're good.
Oh, and by starting a family, you're also starting another Super Bowl campaign. Get through September without throwing another interception in your career. Still
bonus.
A clean sheet there. And still, by the way, still not lose a September game in your career.
Oof.
So far.
Some of the...
Way to go, Patrick. For the rest of the males on planet Earth. Just keep setting that bar even higher.
Some of the comments under the photos were very funny.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
That's the MVP.
No, they're not. No, 2042. They were just funny.
2042 might be too soon because it took him to age 23.
Right.
So
right.
It might be too 45. Much of an expectation. Just too much expectation.
There's never been father-son MVPs, right, in any sport?
Ooh, good question.
Griffey Sr. didn't win one, right?
No.
Well, Archie didn't win one.
Bobby Bonds didn't.
No. I don't think so.
Did Vladimir Guerrero, in case his son eventually wins.
Guess we got to wait for Bronny to win.
He's going to
be in like 2027.
He might be the next, yeah. But,
that could be it. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, Lonzo Ball, wins MVP because his dad never wins.
Well, to hear him tell it.
Nice.
Eric in Rochester, New York, let's take your phone call. What's up, Eric?
Cold Blue.
How are you, Eric?
Hey, Rich.
What's up?
I am calling in response to your poll question.
Yes, sir.
I want to comment that MASH survived two major character changes. Not only
Frank Burns, right?
Frank Burns,
And Colonel Potter.
Winchester.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Three. We just found three.
That's why I picked MASH.
That's three. You're right, Eric.
And don't forget... Radar.
Oh, that's right, Radar. Well, then they just put Klinger in that spot. You know what I mean? Unlike for McLean Stevenson role and for Frank Burns and for Trapper John, they went outside. They acquired. They made an acquisition. They just went down the depth chart. They elevated Klinger from the practice squad, I guess.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean? Okay.
Well, that show had changed so much that Radar O'Reilly was almost turned into a pet for Hawkeye.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right, Hawkeye. Thanks very much. Appreciate the call, Eric. That's some quality television knowledge right there.
MASH is like...
Quality television knowledge right there.
MASH may be the GOAT of my life.
Well, also...
For TV shows?
Yeah.
Well, too...
Hold
on a minute. Based on a film that was based on a book. So you're going from a book to a movie to a television show.
True.
You know, The Odd Couple was based on a play, based on a film based on a play. Right?
The Odd Couple
only lasted a handful of years. It wasn't MASH. And again, take a look at the most watched TV shows of all time. Each Super Bowl is considered a television show. MASH's finale is still there.
Yeah, when I first moved out here, Burt Metcalf, one of the producers and directors, we used to go to his house.
Yes.
Because a guy I knew was like good friends and he would watch his house.
Yes.
He used to have the Golden Globes and then he had this thing with dog tags with the 61 or whatever, the million that watched it that was given to them when they broke like that record. And
Don Bowie just got on my ear, ninth still in terms
of total viewers. Yeah, 105.9 million.
Think about that.
That'll
never happen again.
Well, last night's debate, the biggest debate in the history of debates, right? I think they're still tabulating. It's just only a hair above north of 80 million.
But yeah, I mean, think how many people were alive in the United States watching to do 105 million at that point?
Everybody watched
that show.
Our call screener, Adam, you know, frequently people just call in and hang up. He put in a note here. Mike, your brother Frank called.
Yep, from his store.
Why didn't he want to get put through?
He had to work with a customer. He actually just texted me.
Said he worked in a supermarket. Eggs and milk are at the back to make people have to walk through the store. Wait a minute. There's a whole note here.
Yeah.
What are you saying here? The bakery? Something's about the bakery.
And the bakery's up front so you smell it and you want
to get people
eat.
Hungry.
Yep.
You grab a cookie, you grab a little croissant before you go around.
Genius.
To the man.
Works every time.
My father, may he rest in peace. You know what he was? He was a grazer. He grazed.
Oh, grazing was the best.
At the supermarket.
Home Costco.
You know what that is?
Just like take a little bite of things?
Yeah.
By
Costco.
I do that.
Greatest thing Costco.
Hold on a second. Wait. What do you mean you do that?
I do that. I used to.
Do you put a little couple extra bucks on top of the tab? You don't pay for it?
No. I would actually, I would take like a donut hole or something and just. It's a walking around donut hole. It's free. They want you to do it.
No, they don't want you to do it.
They want you to do it so you buy more food.
They don't care.
There's no, no.
I mean, if it's sitting out and it's there,
by
sure.
By the way, now today, where what's you're really sticking your hands in stuff?
Well, like not this. Anymore. I'm talking, this is years ago.
Costco is the only place that is legal that you can do it.
No, in Costco,
because they have
that's
the trays.
Part of your membership.
Yeah, but they,
at the grocery store, you know, you just grab a little donut and walk around.
Costco,
we
got to
continue this another time.
Hold on a second. Costco willingly invites people to Grace. Say, please take stuff for free.
Well, yeah, they put samples out. They have stands in there, and people.
Oh yeah, you've
the
never
stations.
Seen Costco. They have stations. They bring the. It's people eat their whole like.
You could
daily
you
meal.
Could have a whole meal for the day and be full at just Costco. At the Costco stations.
Oh, we used to have a grocery store called Bilo. Back in Pennsylvania, and they were like that. They'd set samples up all over.
Oh, so they did that.
Have a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
All right, I want to thank today's guests, David Shaw, Kyle Brandt, David Wright, Nate Bergazzi, and Jason Lockenfora. On tomorrow's show, Rachel Nichols will join us to talk about tonight's broadcast that she will NBA Game 1, NBA Finals Game 1.
Who you got?
I don't know. I'll go Heat just to.
Hey, let's go.
Right. I'm with the Heat. I'm with you, Rich. Yeah.
Good answer.
By the way, where does that rank with my analysis about the White Sox?
Sox, bro.
The Heat, bro. We'll see you on Thursday, bro.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.